Well, 2 weeks ago in my sermon, we discussed the importance of self-examination before the Passover. Today we're going to look at one sinful aspect of life that we may tend to overlook and not even consider. To begin with today, I'd like to turn over to the Epistle of James, James chapter 3 to be exact. James 3. It started about a week ago, but has anyone had the opportunity of enjoying watching any of the Winter Olympics? I know I have. I've tried to anyway. There are several events that I really enjoy watching, including alpine skiing events. I wonder if any of you remember an Olympic skier by the name of Peekaboo Street. Her name was spelled P-I-C-A-B-O, but it was pronounced Peekaboo. She won the Olympic gold medal in the Super G in 1998 and was inducted into the National Ski Hall of Fame in 2004. But she is more than a famous skier. In fact, between training on the slopes and traveling around the world to compete, she managed to get an education and earn a degree in nursing. Early in her nursing career, she worked briefly as an ICU nurse in a large metropolitan hospital. She did outstanding work, but she had one big problem. The head of nursing had to tell her not to answer the phone in the ICU because of confusion that it caused the callers. Callers would be connected to the ICU and hear Peekaboo say in her best professional voice, "Peekaboo, ICU." Is that a true story? Nope. Peekaboo is not now a nurse, has never been a nurse, and as far as I know, doesn't particularly want to be a nurse. But she gets the joke. She gets the story. Since she was a child, she's been teased about her name. Her parents got it from an Idaho town that takes its name from a Native American word meaning shining waters. So the Peekaboo ICU story was nothing but unmitigated rumor. There is a sin that our society not only embraces, but in many ways encourages. It seems like once we get a taste of it, we can't get enough of it. It is utterly destructive, and yet when we partake of it, we always want to justify it. It has the ability to destroy relationships, destroy friends, families, churches, and yet we even invent reasons to be a part of it. This sin has been with humanity since the very beginning. It even played a role in the Garden of Eden. What is this sin? Let's look at what James has to say here in James chapter 3. We'll see that this sin is tied to one tiny part of our bodies. Let's begin in James 3 and verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. He's telling us that we're all going to make mistakes and sin and stumble now and again. That's a given because we're human. Here he also is stating that what we say, the words we use, can have an impact on our lives as well as the lives of other people. Then he gives a couple of analogies for us to get the point. Verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Like, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. In other words, what we say can have a powerful impact on what happens next in our lives. Then James sets us straight on how our words can have tremendous impact on us as well as others around us. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. and it is set on fire by hell. James is saying that what comes out of our mouths can create what is tantamount to a firestorm. And we all know what firestorms can do, don't we? Especially those of us that live in California. All you have to do is hearken back to the fall of last year. Firestorm after firestorm shed across the northern part of California and just destroyed homes, destroyed communities, destroyed people, destroyed lives, destroyed businesses, destroyed hopes and dreams. And you know what comes out of our mouths has the capacity to do that kind of damage to other people's lives. That's why James said what he said. Then James goes into another set of analogies for us to consider. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. That's what God set man on this earth to do. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Man has been able to do about everything else on the earth as God has planned for him to do from the very beginning. The one thing we can't seem to control is our tongues. Then he gives us something to really consider. Verse 9. With it, our tongue that is, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And as long as I've been in the ministry, which is quite a few years now, measured in decades, not years, I would say that this has been one of the biggest, if that's not the biggest problem in the churches of God. And it's killing us. And it will continue to kill us. Let's now turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Here in Matthew 15 is where the Pharisees were condemning Christ's disciples for not washing their hands before they ate bread or food. In his response, Jesus went on to say that the Pharisees were total hypocrites, talking out of one side of their mouth and doing something else differently. He explained that what and how things went into one's mouth is really not the issue. The real problem is what comes out of the mouth. Listen to how Christ explains it. Let's pick it up in Matthew 15 and begin in verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" See, the disciples were always unnerved at times by the Pharisees because they knew how much power and authority the Pharisees had over the lives of people that were Jews. And they were afraid of them. But he answered them in verse 13. He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both of them will fall into a ditch." In other words, these Pharisees are not responding to God the Father. They're responding to themselves. Man-made rules and regulations to put control over the people that they had authority over. Again, hypocrites. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Don't you get it yet? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? Don't you get that about life? This is the basic premise of life. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And some of the evil things that can come out of our mouths are rumors, peekaboo, ICU, gossip, murmuring, complaining, grumbling, accusing, comparing notes on someone or something with somebody else. Maybe we're just trying to get the quote-unquote skinny on somebody or something, or the scoop on somebody or something, so we go to somebody else and try to get it from them. If we disapprove of something that was said or something that was done, we want to find others who agree with us so we can talk about it. We've all done it. And some of us continue to do it. We've done it so much and for so long, we see absolutely nothing wrong with it. But you know what? God hates it. He hates it with a passion. Turn with me, if you would, now to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. You know, even if it's the truth that we are spreading, if it can hurt or cause damage to anyone else, it should not be repeated. The bottom line is that any form of gossip will eventually cause division within a relationship, especially in a congregation. And we're going to see that God hates this more than just about anything else that has ever existed. All we need to do is look at Proverbs 6. As we will see, the Proverbs are chocked full, from cover to cover, full of advice about gossiping, tale-bearing, whispering. They all mean the same thing, biblically. All meaning that in evil coming out of our mouths. As we have seen, Jesus Christ talked about it and he condemned it. James talked about it and condemned it. We'll also see that Peter and Paul address the same subject and they condemn it. Solomon really hits home with it here in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's begin in Proverbs 6 and verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. It all starts with his mouth, and guess what comes out? The abundance of what's in his heart. People don't say things that they don't feel in their heart. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points his fingers, always pointing it out to somebody else. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord intentionally. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. And he does all of this thinking it's just fine. Been doing it for so long, it's just second nature to him. Part of his being. But you know, as we just read in verse 15, eventually, they're going to have to pay the price because of all the damage that they've done. And when the price is going to be paid, it's going to come suddenly and there's going to be no reversing it. And how is all this summed up? Something that God hates. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. One, a proud look. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Five, feet that are swift to running to evil. Six, a false witness who speaks lies. And seven, the one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates that. Flip over a couple pages to Proverbs 16. It's simply amazing to me how the human mind works in justifying most any form of gossip. I mean, there's excuse after excuse, reason after reason, and it's totally justifiable in the person's mind. Especially when we're talking about someone who has done or said something that we think is wrong, or maybe even perceived as a sin. Did you hear? Can you believe what she said? Wow, I bet that's going to raise a few eyebrows. All sounding innocent until the poison comes out. It can manifest itself in so many different ways, and it does. Let's look at Proverbs 16 and begin in verse 27. Proverbs 16, 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. He can't wait to repeat it. He has to tell it to someone else, anyone else, who's willing to listen. Therein lies the key. He has to have a willing listener. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. It's almost comical sometimes when you stand and watch people, even in a congregation like this, and you see them get together with somebody and they look around, then they get a little closer to each other, and then they lean in toward each other and they start whispering. You ever wonder what they're whispering about? 29. A violent man entices his neighbor, gets him involved in the gossip, shares the nitty-gritty, the dirt, the crap, the garbage. Gets somebody to join them on their side, and next thing you know, he's leading them down a path of destruction and leads them in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. You can just sometimes visualize that in people when you see them, when they get all worked up about stuff. Maybe just one page away. Go over to Proverbs 17. As I said, Proverbs is full of these admonitions about gossiping and whispering and talebearing. Just one verse here in Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And sometimes that's the intention. Drive a wedge between two people that you want to close together, so you can be closer to you or further away from somebody else. This is very similar to what we just read in Proverbs 16. Okay, let's go over one more, Proverbs 18. Here in Proverbs 18, we'll see an interesting analogy for gossip. Here Solomon is referring to people like this as fools. Let's begin in Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. It's because he's always stirring up trouble. He's creating problems. People almost want to get angry and smack him. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. It's like a tasty hors d'oeuvre or appetizer, and they stick it in their mouth, and it just tastes so good, and it goes all the way down into their being and becomes a part of them. Drop down to verse 20. Let's look at this idea from a little different angle now. Proverbs 18, verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I hope we take these admonishments by Solomon to heart, especially before the Passover this year. Let's go to Proverbs 20 next, a couple pages over. Remember when I said that all someone like this needs is someone to listen? If gossip doesn't have any listeners, they can't gossip, can they? It ends. Look at Proverbs 20, and let's pick it up in verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. So here's our first pointer on dealing with a gossip. Don't listen. Next, we'll see that more, a bit about mentioned that in another passage in Proverbs 26. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 26. This Proverbs 26 is one of the Proverbs of Solomon that King Hezekiah of Judah copied. It became a part of the Proverbs. Here in Proverbs 26, we'll see how to stop a gossip, as well as why it is readily acceptable by some people, as we just read. It's a bit similar to what we read in Proverbs 18 just a second ago. Let's begin in Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. We all know that, don't we? And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. A repeat of what we just read. Just as if there's no fire, the fire goes out. If there's no listener, the gossip fizzles out. And that's what needs to happen. Let's next go to the book, the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's get Paul's take on our subject here today. Here in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul is commending the brethren for their acts of service and their love toward one another. He tells them to increase in these things, but then he gives them an admonition about how they should be living their lives on a day-to-day basis. And what he mentions here, one thing that he mentions, is very apropos for today's sermon. Let's begin in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In other words, don't stand on your laurels. Keep getting better at it. Becoming a better Christian, a more loving, a more caring, a more giving. Then I love this next statement that Paul makes. It's been one of my favorite quotes from the Bible. Verse 11. Then you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Let's go to Romans 1 next. What a great piece of advice for all of us. Mind your own business. We have plenty to do in each and every one of our own lives than to be worried about what everybody else needs to do to get better. Jesus Christ talked a lot about that, especially on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, pay attention to you. Fix you. Don't worry about everybody else, even if they offend you. We'll see next that Paul lumps this whole idea of gossiping into a really nasty bunch of sins. So if anybody's thinking that this isn't that big of a deal, you're going to think twice after we read this next thing. He points out that their thoughts and their minds become so very corrupt that they are given over to really debased behavior. It gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't get better and better. It just goes downhill. He said that professing to be wise, these people actually have become fools. Let's see how Paul describes this lifestyle behavior at the tail end of Romans chapter 1. Let's pick it up in Romans 1, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, I think it says reprobate in King James. Actually, it means rejected and worthless. Gave them over to a worthless mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, also called gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And gossip's right there in the middle. That's a pretty nasty list, wouldn't you say? See, most of us read through that passage of Scripture. Well, I don't murder. I'm not full of envy. I'm not malicious. I don't covet anything. I don't hate God. We go to all the ones that are pretty obvious that we know we don't do. Every single person in this room that's old enough to have thought it is guilty of this. So we see that the whisperers, gossips, talebearers are lumped together with some pretty ugly behavior. And no wonder, because God said he hates this kind of behavior. Because it not only does damage to the person, it does damage to people around him or her. So we get ready to wrap it up today. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Do you ever stop and think about why people seem to be so readily able to fall into the gossip trap? Well, I believe when we gossip, it seems to make people feel good about themselves. We seem to get an ego boost when we observe somebody else's sins or mistakes that we aren't committing. To gossip about it then seems to make us feel superior over that other person we're talking about because we don't do that kind of stuff. No, what we do is worse. And in God's eyes, much worse. After all, we're right and they're wrong. We want others then to side with us, so we must tell our side of the story to win them over. Then our friends repeat the story to their friends, and on it goes, until it becomes real. Folks, this type of behavior has to stop, especially if we intend to take the Passover in a worthy manner. Paul tells us here in Ephesians 4 how we should behave in this regard. Let's begin in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Before we close today, I have a poem I found that discusses the subject of gossip. The author is unknown, but it really hits the nail on the head. After the poem, I have an exercise that can help all of us stop the rumor mill and the gossip trap dead. The title of the poem is Nobody's Friend. My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious, and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. My name is Gossip. You've probably all heard the saying, which I was taught when I was a young boy. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we've all probably learned that this is not actually true. I would venture a guess that more people have been hurt in our lives by words than sticks and stones. Here's a simple formula that I came across that can help with this destructive issue of gossip. It's called the THINK, T-I-N-T-H-I-N-K formula. Before speaking of or discussing any person or subject that is perhaps controversial or probably hurtful, use this T-H-I-N-K formula. If what you're going to say doesn't pass this following test, don't say it. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? If all of the answers are not yes, it would be best to keep our mouths shut and never repeat it and never listen to it. If someone else brings it to you and it doesn't pass this test, tell them you have no interest in discussing it any further. If they won't listen, be rude. As I said before, this sort of thing has to stop. And God hates it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can definitely kill me. Have a great Sabbath.